Eureka! You found us! Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by Rad Gantos, principal of Rad Gantos & Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm, and Craig Sullivan, executive vice president of ParkWest GC, a hospitality and commercial real estate general contractor. Check Out California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Good afternoon. I am Craig Sullivan.
And I'm Rad Gantos.
And welcome to Check Out California. We've got two special guests here today. Mr. Steve Gostin from the Culinary Institute of Orange County. I'm sorry, that was absolutely wrong. The Art Institute of Orange County, the program chair and chef of the culinary group. And then we've got our friend Bill Bracken from Bracken's Kitchen joining us once again. So welcome to the show, and I apologize for that faux pas.
Yeah, you apologize, and Steve and I are going to have to face the music tomorrow when we basically are at the school.
Yes, you will. So, yeah.
for those who don't know, can you hear me, Paul?
We can hear you.
For those who don't know, I've actually been privileged to be asked again this quarter to actually teach a class on hotel design. Since this is a hospitality show, I think I could do a plug for that now. And Greg keeps telling me that he's going to probably come in, you know.
Give me a date and time.
Yeah, give the students a little bit of benefit of his background. So Steve and I know each other from the Art Institute of Orange County, where they have a culinary program.
Is that correct?
And he's the program chair.
Let me see if we can get this right. It's the Art Institute of California.
Wow, I think we got both
in Orange County.
I think we got so, both this thread.
We did.
Yeah,
we did. Right.
You got to look at the bottom of your paycheck.
What paycheck?
Pick that Kit Kat.
Kidding. Yeah, this is how I get paid. See? I get paid in chocolate.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to mention that since you're doing a culinary themed show with a great chef and the Institute of California, Orange County, that we've just finished your previous show and we're finishing up the bottle of.
Some of us are.
No. Paul, you take that away. There you go.
Thank you very much.
The same. So we had a great show before. A gentleman by the name of Bart Zandbergen, and I know him as Bart. He's a buddy of mine, and we had him on the show. Segment sponsored by BespokeStyle.com. And we had a great show. And
he's a wealth manager, but on the side, he happens to be a certified sommelier.
Right, but the interesting thing is, I've been blessed right after that when Craig Sullivan, my co-host, walked in.
With
a bar of dark Kit Kat.
Yes. To the Kit Kat fanatic over here.
For the Kit Kat fanatic, I'm here.
So anyway, champagne and Kit Kats today.
Chocolate and alcohol.
Getting back to the people.
Life is good.
Yeah.
On a Wednesday at 1 o'clock.
At noon, you know? Yeah, right, 1 o'clock.
And people are leaving California. I don't get it. Okay. But I also want to point out that we have another person in the room.
We do.
Yes. Who is a return friend of the show.
Wow. Yes. And of the California Lodging Investment Conference.
Nice,
Mr. Bill Bracken.
Nice slide. Yes. In there. The conference that Greg Sullivan puts on successfully. He's put it on for 2 years and is going to be putting it on again next year. And Bill Bracken is with us today from Bracken's Kitchen. And Bill is, and we've said this to people before on the air, is our Check Out California select nonprofit that we encourage everybody to find out about. Bill, what's the website?
Along with the Click conference as well.
What's the website, Bill?
www.brackenskitchen.com.
Nobody does www anymore.
I was trying to do dub and a W.
And if you didn't hear the previous show, obviously Bill's credentials are deep. You were last executive chef where? Up at the Peninsula?
Peninsula is where I spent a number of years with Four Seasons Hotels as well, the Island Hotel. And I did need to back up for a second. I do want you to know that Steve and I, true culinary professionals, had foie gras, caviar, and some truffles lined up for you today, but I came in and saw chocolate, so we just left that in the car.
Oh,
so,
oh, you know, man.
You know,
oh.
You know, it is raining in California, and people just don't know what to do when it rains in California. So I get it.
Okay, I appreciate it.
But you are aware that to earn a third visit, you either have to bring some food or something to consume here beyond Kit Kats here.
Absolutely. So
if you do, there's a real practical reason for it, by the way, Bill. It keeps Paul quiet.
Yes. That's why Paul got the first candy bar.
So help a guy out.
Absolutely. Okay.
So but, why don't you tell us about the Hungry Games?
Yeah, what is this thing I hear about the Hungry Games, and it's sold out, and, you know, my classroom's going to be barricaded, and, you know, by bread tables, and, you know, it sounds pretty, like, ambitious, but it also seems kind of like, what's going on?
Well, let me segue, and then we're going to let Bill take over, but basically, the Hungry Games is Bill and Bracken's Kitchen's first ever fundraising event. And what started as a small competition has turned into a full-blown-out dream come true. And it's really cool to be working with them at the Art Institute, because we're opening our doors and our kitchens to some amazing chefs from Orange County. So it's a competition and a fundraiser auction, but I get to highlight my students as well.
Perfect.
And it's an amazing opportunity. So, but
you,
Bill,
bought tickets, right? You're going to be there.
I did buy tickets. Matter of fact, I'm bringing my son, and I'm also bringing our director of operations from Park West GC, Nancy Nguyen, and it was her birthday last week.
Happy birthday, Nancy.
Happy birthday.
So, yeah, the three of us will be there and connect with everybody tomorrow.
It is definitely a who's who, man. I looked at that list and it was like, wow,
right?
Really? These gentlemen just scored big time, right? I mean, it's going
to
be an
definitely
awesome,
blessed to have some of the chefs.
Absolutely.
For sure.
So when and where?
And some characters, man. You got some good characters there. It's going to be a show tomorrow.
It's going to be, I think, a comedy show, a cooking show, a showcase of amazing food.
We won't even point
stylings
out to who you may be referring to when you
say. Oh, there's a host, but I got a plug. So we have one chef competing. He's new in the game. He's also one of my students. His name is Rufus Bloomfield.
Rufus Bloomfield.
Rufus Bloomfield. Rufus. There aren't too many people you're going to meet named Rufus.
Yeah.
But he's also a personal chef and the corporate chef for Nobleman magazine.
Yes, he is.
Oh, wow.
And so, just so we're clear, somebody tweeted, when, where, and what is it?
It's going to be tomorrow night at the Art Institute of California, Orange County, 3601 West Sunflower Avenue, Santa Ana, California, 92704.
And what happens?
From
6
p.m. to 8:30.
And what happens there? What happens?
Well, I'm sorry, back up on the time, 6 to what?
6 to 8:30.
Yeah.
I saw the update.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw the update on the Facebook page, right? We're anticipating it running over.
Just a tad.
Just a smidge, yeah.
It is what it is, but it's all for a worthy cause.
And what happens? What will people see if they go there?
Bill, I think you should take over.
Absolutely.
Here.
And I'm going to back up a second. And in addition to being the program chair at the Art Institute, Steve is one of the board members of Bracken's Kitchen. He joined us how long ago?
Six months ago, nine months ago.
And he reached out to us, and I got to know Steve. He heard about Bracken's Kitchen, the work we do, and it's an obvious connection between Hungry Leaf and training students, Art Institute, and our desire to create a culinary training program at Bracken's Kitchen. So we've been blessed to have Steve on board as one of our board members, and you know, he stepped up, and the Art Institute and Dream Center and everybody now with all the changes have stepped
Very
up
nice.
In a major way to support this event. So we truly are excited.
And what is Bracken's Kitchen?
Really, Rod?
No, I mean, for people that are...
I think the champagne guy.
Somebody's got to be that guy in the room, right?
We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization here in Orange County, focused on Hungry Leaf, poverty, and culinary training for the less fortunate. So we're based here in Orange County, but the beauty of what we do with the food truck feeding program and six wheels on a vehicle, we can feed anywhere. We can go anywhere. So we're really focused on recovered food, which is a big part of our future. And really what's happened in America, we can talk about later. But backing up to, I guess, the Hungry Games for a second. You know,
What is it?
5 years into this nonprofit of ours, we always struggled with what an event would look like for us. I mean, I'm sure all of you have been to some sort of large fundraiser events. There's galas, there's the anti-gala, you name it. But, you know, Miracles for Kids is one of our collaborative partners. Has got their big event coming up at the St. Regis that they're already advertising.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's easy for a nonprofit that's working on curing cancer or heart disease or other things to put on a big gala. But for us, it was too much of a dichotomy to put on a big, fancy food and beverage fundraiser at a big resort to raise money for families and kids who don't have a meal. I mean, to sit and eat, sit around and eat a lot of food and drink a lot of alcohol, and while someone in Orange County right now doesn't have a meal, it's really a struggle for us to figure out how we can do an event. So, you know, I don't even remember how we came up with the name The Hunger Games. Obviously, it's a play on The Hunger Games a movie series. We're doing, you know, tying in a few pieces to that, but really we want to do something fun. The Art Institute in the kitchen is the perfect setting. People certainly aren't even encouraged to get dressed up. It's in a kitchen. It's going to be a live setting. We wanted to have
some fun.
We wanted to create some, you know, some fun with the chefs and competing. So, you know, we got some of Orange County's top chefs, even L.A. for that matter. We got Ray Garcia from Broken Spanish in L.A. coming down in B.S. Taqueria, a man I used to work with years ago. So great to have him join us. Jason Montalbano from Chapter One in Orange County, also someone that I used to work with. So it's great to see a couple people that used to work for me years ago find success, and now they're coming back to support us.
And what will they do? If I go there, what will I see these chefs doing? What's the competition?
Well, they're going to be juggling apples, and then they're going to be juggling... Let me get a couple more plugs in.
Bow and arrow.
We got a couple more heavy hitters.
The monkeys are coming out later.
Absolutely.
Flying monkeys?
Any monkeys. My wife would kill me if I told a joke about the monkeys and the football.
Okay, that's not them.
I know that joke. Usually two monkeys.
Right.
But on top of the chefs I already mentioned, we obviously...
Ignore them, Billy.
I'm trying real hard here. Just keep on talking. Can't you tell? I think right across the courtyard here, you got this restaurant called Vaca that's pretty well known.
Wonderful. Yeah, you're right down the street, right?
Yeah, really
throw something at it.
Amar Santana is going to be there, so we're blessed to have him. We got Dean Nguyen from Break of Dawn Laguna, the biggest personality. Well, I think Amar and Rainer Schwartz are personality competition there, but Rainer from Hendrix and the Deck in Laguna and Driftwood Kitchen will be there. So that's 3, 4, 5, 6. I named it all. You named Rufus already.
That's 7.
So we got a great group of people.
Who's the last minute additions? We had the bread.
Well, we got Dean Kim from OC Baking doing bread. He's going to block your office, your classroom there.
It's okay. I'll allow it.
Tariq Tangisari from Crema Bakery is coming down for desserts. And the Dirty Cookie, Shahira, is coming to do desserts. And, of course, let's not forget, most importantly, is the students and chefs at the Art Institute. They're doing the reception.
Nice.
They're doing some of the dessert stuff as well. Yep. So we're really excited.
So I'll take one last shot at this. What do they do when I see when I go there? What do I see?
You will walk between the three live kitchens upstairs where we'll have the 7 chefs competing, and they're going to be making appetizers. You know, their signature dishes. The guests get to come in and they get to try all the food that's happening, and they get to vote on the best dish. And at the end of the night, we tally up the votes, and we have a Hungry Games champion.
How are they going to vote, Bill?
They're going to take a little poker chip. They're going to give them 2 of them exactly, and they're going to vote. Drop them in the voting vessel, the bain-marie, because we're in a kitchen. Most people don't know what a bain-marie is, I was told. So, you know, obviously you'll dine and you know... pick out your 2 best meals and 2 best dishes and go back and vote on them. And, you know, we're obviously, we got a few things that we're mixing in to the events that no one knows about, and we'll save that for the night of the event. We're not quite, what is that TV show? Cutthroat Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're not quite that, but we have a couple of fun things we'll introduce.
I don't know, man. Have you spent much time at that school? I mean, you know.
It can be a little cutthroat, huh?
You try to find a marker to write on the board, man. It's cutthroat, I'll tell you.
I know. Considering what we do, you think they'd provide better erasers for a white
board. I am not even going to go there. You're a head of a department. I'm just a measly adjunct professor.
We have aprons, and we have spoons, and everything, and knives. We give people knives. But the eraser is not so.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're thinking of a career path at the Art Institute of Orange County, you might want to basically follow the culinary path, because the design department, we don't have markers on the wall. I'm kidding, Denise. Okay. I'm kidding.
You guys are all in trouble tomorrow, man.
Yeah, we're all in trouble. But I will say, I mean, his mic is falling down even. But I will say that it is an amazing, honestly, amazing activity that you guys have been pulling off here. And it's all for a good cause, because it's all for the benefit of
Bracken's Kitchen.
Bracken's Kitchen. And if you haven't bought your tickets, to be the bearer of bad news.
You're going to have to wait for the next one.
You're
going to
have to wait for the next Hungry Games.
I just want to, you know, what Bracken's Kitchen does is amazing, because it's not just going out and feeding people. It's not like there's canned food, things like that. I mean, my wife makes sandwiches for needy people at church every week. But what really got me with Bracken's Kitchen and Bill especially, he's making hot, nutritious food.
Yeah,
right.
He's creating food that we would get restaurant quality,
right,
that these people would never, ever have the opportunity to experience. I mean, he's brought some of our meetings. I'm like, oh, my God, this is amazing. What is this? He goes, oh, we served it off Betsy last night, and it was leftover.
And for those who don't know, like, what Betsy is a food truck that Bill got hold of, and you'd have to listen to the other show when Bill was on, okay, in order to find out more about Betsy. Or you can come out and meet her if you happen to have tickets. Right? Or follow. Can they follow us? Are we going to do any kind of live stuff on social media tomorrow?
Yeah, we're working on a couple people to take over our Instagram account, hopefully. If not, we'll do our best to keep everything going there ourselves. But
since I'm going to be blocked from my classroom with bread tables, then, you know, I might...
Locked in, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Nice. We'll let you take over Instagram.
You're going to let me take over your Instagram? Well, I don't know. Don't tease me like that.
Well, I got to tell you, so the Art Institute
is really... But I might do some Facebook live feed.
Okay, well, they've really embraced this, and they've allowed our campus to take our program national.
Wow.
So they're opening up our Instagram and Snapchat from the national level, and we're going to be controlling it. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity, and right, nice. If you're ready to do that,
I'll do it. I'm going to be there. I'm more than happy to. And
can we see what kind of following he has before we ask him?
Yeah, you might want to.
No. It's not how many people I have following me.
The quality
of
them.
The quality of the people.
The quality. You might want to take a look at that first.
See, this is a smart man right here.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think it's awesome. And the caliber of the people, I mean, when I was doing the little flyer teaser for this show, I'm like, wow.
It's amazing.
This is right out of the chute, first time around. I mean, it speaks volumes about the organization and people wanting to be associated with it. And I genuinely would encourage you to find out more about Bracken's Kitchen. There's going to be opportunities to be involved with them. You know, they are supported by a lot of great people that make their mission possible. And it really was driven by the fact that the food that was being provided for those who are in the need was not of the nutritional caliber and value that somebody of Bill's background felt was appropriate. And basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is not right, but there was a better way to do it. And in fact, you started off having people come to you and then realize that they're taking all their pennies to make it to you to get that free meal. So instead, you said, I'm going to take the food to them.
Absolutely. And Rod, if I can just add, you know, we've been doing...
Add away.
I've been doing a little soul searching, if you will, with this fundraiser coming up. And I speak about Bracken's Kitchen all the time, all the time. And, you know, doing an event of our own, it really made me think, what do I want to share with people? What do I want to talk about? And, you know, we have a man that I'll talk about very briefly who's on our culinary training program. His name is Caesar. And we haven't seen him for about 10 days. He has had his share of life issues and challenges, and we met him in recuperative care with Illumination Foundation, one of our collaborative partners, and he's gotten his life back in order, came in the kitchen developing culinary training. He's got a background that he worked in restaurants years ago, and in the last 2 weeks he found out, double whammy, that his adult daughter has breast cancer and that his father has breast cancer. So just when he's finally getting things back in order and really getting his life back on track, he gets a double whammy. And you know what? This is just a reality. I think of my 54 years on this earth and the many, many challenges that I've faced in life. I mean, life has a way of really putting really challenges in front of us. And we face some really big obstacles. But in 2018 in America, especially Southern California, a tasty, nutritious meal should not be an obstacle for anybody.
Absolutely.
You know, and if we can help, I mean, when someone like that is battling cancer and the family has to worry about where their next meal is coming from, man, we can do better in this country, and that's the core of who we are as an organization.
Or that you're one step away from being homeless because of that medical bill that may be coming your way. I mean, and it's not just California or Orange County, affluent. I mean, it really is a reflection on us as a country that we have these things. And, you know, if it wasn't by the grace of God and people like you, honestly, that are stepping up and doing this, we have such a need. And it is so undealt with. And, you know, not pointing fingers at anybody, but, you know, closing a blind eye, kicking the can down the road, all the justifications on the planet does not make this get worked
you
out.
You can't justify this.
You can't. You know, I am my brother's keeper. I really believe that. And whether you're spiritual, whether you're religious, seeing somebody like that basically suffer, somebody like you're just describing, who basically are pulling themselves up, they're basically getting themselves back in thing, and what happens to them is happens to everybody. Nobody in this room is immune. You're going to get kicked in the stomach in the time that you probably least expect it.
Yeah.
And then if it wasn't for a support system to shore you up when you're kind of down, if it wasn't for something like this, like, you know, I'll even use Ronald McDonald House, for example, where people enter that parents that have basically have to commute for 30 minutes in Orange County, stuck in traffic, and basically to have their kids basically receive basic medical life-saving treatments. And if it wasn't for a place where they could sleep that was proximity-wise close to that, think of the pressure that puts on the family. So anything that anybody can do through organizations like Bracken's Kitchen, through organizations like, you know, Ronald McDonald House, these are things that I think it is our duty as citizens to basically participate in.
Absolutely. I want to let the audience know there's a powerful video on YouTube about Bracken's Kitchen that Shell Oil produced. And we played it at the CLIC conference a couple of times for all the attendees. You know, Bill and I have a mutual friend, and that's how we met. And we had him on the show, and I saw the video, and it moved me. And every place I go, I talk about Bracken's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the conference will be supporting you again next year. You know, we're going to do everything that we can to help Bracken's Kitchen and you know, raise the level of awareness, because, you know, you guys are doing something that's just tremendous out there that's needed, that unfortunately we've got people that have fallen through what limited safety nets we've had, and this county is way too affluent to let this happen, and we need to take care of our brother. We really do.
Absolutely.
And our sister.
I mean, it amazes me, and I've got two teenagers and a 7-year-old, and it's so much easier for us to turn a blind eye to the problems, and then we glorify these quasi-celebrities on television.
Yep.
And I'm like, let's look at the real
problem. Throw the athletes in there as well.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, my wife and I were talking this morning after we dropped the kids off. I'm like, one of the biggest stories in politics has come about, and we're witnessing it, between North and South Korea. And we got to spend all this time talking about Kanye West?
Yeah.
Give me a break. Right? But
Kanye's coming in here next week, so I don't
know. Oh, boy.
Good. I'd like to see him. All right? Because he could donate and do something big for Bracken's
Kitchen.
Steve,
let's not forget, and all of us, I mean, listen, I was one of those people, and I've never had a cold heart, or I never intend to turn a blind eye toward anybody, but life is tough. Life's demanding. It's challenging. And you get wrapped up in life, and you know, the last thing on your mind is that person standing on the corner that needs some help. And, you know, I have one of my 8-year-old son plays on a baseball team. There's a kid on the team, a little brother I play with every time at a game. I'm tossing the ball with him. I won't mention names. Dad is a police officer here in Orange County. Mother's a wonderful person. They take their son every Monday to Chalk Hospital for treatment for a disease that could end his life.
Right.
And it breaks my heart to think about it. But there are people that have means, and you take another family in that same situation. The dad's a dishwasher at a local hotel, or you know, a gardener, whatever. You know, a low income earner,
right?
And they're just struggling to get by. And you know, oftentimes it's easy for us personally to, you know, to throw it at, well, they made mistakes in life, they got themselves in that position. Poverty isn't a choice.
No, it's
not. You know, and you know, Martin Luther King once said that it's a preposterous notion for us to expect someone who's bootless to pull himself up by his bootstraps.
Yep. Yep.
And the world is full of people that are bootless, not by their choices, but either because life deals you some rough blows, or you were born into poverty and you work to get out of it. And those are the people that you know, say what you want about someone who's made life mistakes and done some silly things.
Have we not all?
Gutter. We all have, but someone who's done absolutely nothing but just try to live their life, and they end up in that place. And like Rod said, aren't we, you know, our brother's keeper? Shouldn't we
Absolutely.
Do something to help
But you
out?
Know what struck me the last time you were here, and I thought it was very honest and open, it's the elephant in the room. We want to help, but we don't know how, one, and we're afraid to, because you're dealing with a population that we are afraid of. Homeless. Are they on drugs? Are they criminals? Are they psychotic? Are they crazy or whatever? And so we have a tendency, as much as we want to be our brother's keeper, and you talked about this when you first went out and started working with people, a feeling of wanting to help those, and yet a hesitation to get too close and too involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing is important. We tend to, you know, we live in a world where we put everything into boxes.
Right.
You know, I mean, we have to fit everything into some sort of box. And poverty, low income, homeless, those are all different boxes.
You drive around, you step across the street.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's your comfort, right?
Right.
My comfort is this box that I can define. I have a fear of the unknown. I have a fear of putting myself out at risk, right? But here's the thing. You can be smart and you can be cautious about how you go about doing it, right? The thing I think that I want to add to what your list, Paul, is that there's probably a fear of not being able to make enough of a difference. That basically you want to, but it's such an overwhelming situation that you feel like, what difference can I make? Well, I'll tell you, the only way you find out how much of a difference you can make and how meaningful it is when you actually engage. Because sitting on the outside and looking at it, you're never going to get a sense that you are going to be able to make a difference. But boy, do you make a big difference. And you make it in the slightest ways that you think aren't meaningless, but they're so meaningful to other people.
We had somebody in last week talking about another worthy charity, Wells of Life. Shout out to Nick and work he does building wells of water wells over in Africa for people who otherwise don't have clean water and therefore die of diseases in children and whatnot. And he said the same thing. He said that problem with so many of these things, homelessness, starvation in Africa, other things we hear about all the time, is they never seem to go away. It's endless. And you get sort of exhausted. Why give up? I can't make any difference. So this is never going to change. And yet, to your point, the starfish example, walking down the street, you can't save all the starfish that get washed up in the shore, but you can save this one.
It's not about solving the problem.
Right.
It's about whatever little difference you can make while you are engaged.
If everybody made a little bit of a difference, and it goes back, I mean, in the classroom, I teach my students, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with just one step, right?
And how do you eat an elephant, gentlemen?
One bite at a time.
That's right. Let's go to a break and we'll come back.
All right. Well, on that
exactly.
Note.
And I had to end the first part on a culinary.
OCTalkRadio.net.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy 3 with triple points on airfare. Buy 2 with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
All right, we're back.
Welcome back to Check Out California. We are talking about the Hungry Games. And
I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
Yeah, so am I. And
you're always hungry.
You need to pay attention to the board, okay? Steve, tell us about your program over at the school.
We have culinary arts, culinary management, hospitality, food and beverage management.
Nice.
We are not a cooking school. That is the biggest issue that I tell everybody. We're not a cooking school. We are a culinary college. We offer diplomas. We offer associate degrees. We offer bachelor's degrees. We are WASC accredited, which is the highest accreditation in the Western region. And we are also ACF accredited, which is the American Culinary Federation. I believe there is no other college or cooking school that can claim having both those accreditations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's just right down the street from where we are right now.
And it's an amazing program. We've got some amazing people. I'm also the faculty coordinator for the Student Veterans of America. We have a large veteran community. We recently formed a catering company through the students. I mentor them through this catering business. It's called OC Chef Concierge. And Rufus is on that. He's a Marine. And I've got Cody's with the Air Force, Sal with the Army, Mike's from the Army. So we have some talented individuals that are veterans, and they're helping other veterans. But we're providing amazing food and having a lot of fun doing it. And we also, I got to plug our restaurant.
Absolutely.
Used to be called 50 Forks. We remodeled last summer. We changed the name to Exhibit because we're trying to encompass everything our campus offers.
Much better name.
Yeah.
Much better name.
Yeah, but we have a beautiful dinner menu going right now, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights this quarter between...
Except this Thursday.
Except, yes, except this Thursday.
The Hunger Games. Hungry
Games. Yeah. 5:30 to 7:30, and then we'll be back on lunch next quarter.
Okay, great. I'm going to come over for dinner.
And part of that environment is actually there is usually an exhibit of some form as you lead towards the restaurant. And in fact, there was one recently that was about veterans.
Yeah,
and that were homeless.
Yeah, it was.
Did you see that?
I can't remember the photographer's name that presented it, but it was just absolutely beautiful black and white portraits of these homeless vets, and just so crazy to see these pictures.
Yep.
People that served our country and sacrificed so much. And
absolutely.
I need to go back and just give you a plug, Steve. When you first reached out to me and we met, we had lunch in Exhibit, and I was blown away with the lunch I had. And maybe because I haven't had lunch today, I'm really hungry, but I remember that meal. Those students did a really good job there, so hats off to them and the work they do there.
Thank you. Yeah, the exhibit is student-run and operated. It's an actual classroom, and it's towards the end of their program, so they're learning how to work cohesively, back of house, front of house, learning the operations on a very small scale of what it's like to be in a restaurant.
Right. Well, let me ask you something. Since this is a hotel, travel, and tourism program on California, so we reach a lot of hotel owners, third-party management companies, restaurateurs. Do you have any type of programs for internships with the various hotels, whether it's a boutique or a chain or anything in between?
Absolutely. We do have internship programs, and we're reaching out. We're growing that program. It is part of their requirements for the bachelor degree.
Wonderful.
So they have to do internship.
Yeah.
We're doing so much more in the community. And part of the reason I wanted to partner with Bill was I believe it's important that culinary students learn the other side of the culinary world.
Yeah.
It's a hard industry to get into. It's a hard industry to work, and Bill knows that better than anybody.
Yeah.
But it's even harder to realize that you have the power to help feed people.
Right.
So that's why one of the reasons that drove me to contacting Bill was they are our charity of choice as well. And it's important that people realize food is a part of life. It's a necessity of life. And it's not difficult to make great tasting food and to help people enjoy it.
I would call
that's the passion.
I would say good tasting food that's nutritious is not just an option either. It is a necessity.
It is a necessity.
If that's the only meal that you're having and that's the only access that you have, then it's very important that it has nutritional value.
Absolutely.
And if I can just chime in, because we continue to debate, not as much, but we continue to talk in America about health care, about Obamacare, about the right for health care and insurance, all these things. And I proposed to all of you, and I didn't come up with it. I heard it from someone else, but the absolute lowest cost, cheapest form of health care is a tasty, nutritious meal. And when it comes to so many people's health, it starts with what they eat.
Yep.
When you look at the issues of obesity and diabetes and all these things in the low-income population, it's directly tied to a person's diet.
And access,
just about everybody in this room, excuse me for interrupting, just about everybody in this room was born in the 50s. So, if,
63.
Why are you looking at
that? Yeah, I'm like, what's up with that?
We had
just
good
makes
food.
Assumptions
it wasn't this chemically injected and, this garbage that we seem to perpetually eat every day with no choice. So that's another reason why with Bill's, Bracken's Kitchen, that, I said, okay, this is something that I need to support. So
absolutely.
But getting back to the hotels, I want to challenge all of my hotel friends, whether you're an owner, operator, a management company, a brand, get a hold of me. I will get you in contact with Steve, and hopefully you guys can start doing some sort of internship program and hire some really talented people and help them with their educational process.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'd like to have you at the conference next year as well.
Be honored.
And we'll talk off air.
Wait,
about that.
Is Bill going to bring food this time?
Absolutely.
I'll bring food too.
Craig, I'm going to put quick shameless plug for Bracken's Kitchen. One of the best things, the most exciting things, I should say, not the best, that we're working on, you know, as we continue to develop our culinary training program is working with the Art Institute and how, you know, working with Dream Center now, the I guess you call it the owners, but, you know, how we can partner together and take those individuals that can never afford an education at the Art Institute on their own to come into Bracken's Kitchen and partnering with the Art Institute provide
that's great.
Them.
I love it.
Because our goal is when, you know, my goal is, you know, somewhere in the future, soon, that, you know, it's the Mar Santanas and the Dean Wins and Rainer Schwartz that are coming to the Hunger Games. They need a cook. Hey, Bill, who do you got that's ready to go to work? And, and they call us up. And, you know, I got this student that, you know, here's where he came from. Here's his background. We're working on a project right now with Westminster High School, putting some kids in the Transitional Services Department to work this summer in training. And these are kids that will never make it to college on their own. But if we can put them to work, if, you know, partnering with, you know, Steve and the team at the Art Institute to give them even more training and opportunities. This is how you change lives and give people a path out of poverty and help them.
Absolutely.
You know. Couldn't agree more.
A lot of people don't realize at the Art Institute, we have a college-bound program for high school seniors and juniors.
Really?
So currently I have 4 students going through the college-bound. It's every Saturday for 5 hours. Mm-hmm. Wow. They get to work with one of our chef instructors. They get to work in one of our kitchens. They get to learn the fundamentals of cooking. So we do this every quarter, not just culinary, other programs as well, but culinary is the big one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been in this industry pretty much my entire adult life. I've been working in the restaurant industry for so many years. And one of the big things I do, because I have a consulting business here in Costa Mesa, Culinary Networking Group.
And he's got a couple of them, actually.
I am a man of many hats.
Give us a website.
CulinaryNetworkingGroup.com. And one of the big things I do with my clients is I teach them about waste. Yeah. And it's just so disgusting how much food is wasted.
How much food is wasted on a daily basis?
Thousands of dollars. There was one company I was the vice president for, and it was a fast food place. It took me about 14 days to educate the owner that just by burning this, dropping this on the floor, throwing it away, he was losing $3,200 a month in product waste. Because nobody was, it all comes back to training and education.
Right.
If you don't train and educate your team on what to do, it's not going to happen.
How much of that food that is wasted, that is thrown out, is recoverable and repurposed?
80%.
Or can be repurposed, I should
80
say.
80 to 90%. A lot of it can be done because it's ignorance, not knowing how to order, not knowing how to purchase, not knowing what they're doing. And it happens in the industry, and that's why so many restaurants close.
Mm-hmm.
They hire people to be managers, or they promote a good server into a management position, but they don't teach them how to be leaders. Right. Yeah. They don't teach them, you know, the proper way to manage and operate. So
one of the hardest businesses out there.
It is. I mean, if you want to hire a good leader, you hire a restaurant manager. Because I'll tell you what, a good restaurant manager has excellent leadership skills, people skills, organizational skills.
Yeah.
You know, we're not perfect.
Yeah. Bill, how much of that produce that you guys use is recovered or donated?
Well, it's interesting you was asking about, you know, wasted and everything like that there. I think we talked about last time. USDA put out a report recently that estimates between 25 and 40% of all food processed grown in America ends up in our landfills having never been consumed by a human. Yeah. 40%. And, I mean, I'll talk real quick because I don't want to get too far off the topic. But, you know, when you look at hunger statistics in America right now, if you go on Feeding America's website, it says 1 out of 8 Americans.
Yep.
And that fluctuates between 1 and 6. But 1 out of 8 faces hunger every day.
Yep.
I mean, that do the math. 1 out of 8 is 12.5% of our population.
And we're throwing away 40% of our food.
Well, so that tells you that 60% of the food in America is feeding 88% of the population. Yep. Imagine what we can do with those other people.
Yep.
And, you know, last week, we're surrounded by some great partners at Bracken's Kitchen, Newport Meat Company, LA Specialty, Santa Monica Seafood. This week I got in cases of frozen lobster meat, shrimp, crab.
We're eating at the wrong place.
Yeah, we definitely are.
This is all product. And, you know, you got to understand, yes, there's what Steve was talking about, running a business. There's poor management over ordering. But if you're a premier meat, produce, seafood, chicken company in America, serving and providing for the Amar Santanas of the world, the top chefs, you don't run out of product.
Yeah,
you know, so if a chef calls you and I need 50 pounds of this, you got to have it.
Well,
so
and you can't keep it too long either.
Exactly, and there's a fine art running a business to have the right amount and not too much. And
what Steve was talking about.
Yeah, and at one point in time, you're gonna have too much of this, so you throw it in the freezer. And then if you're a business, you throw it in the freezer and you discount the price and, you know, try to move it. And if, again, if you're a premier supplier, you know, you don't have a lot of chain restaurants you're buying from. So it sits in the freezer and eventually it goes in the trash unless you find someone like
that. You know what I find really fascinating is that we are so embracing and have been for so long about being green. To the point where restaurants are basically using, you know, biodegradable containers and
forks made out of corn,
and straws made out of straw, and you know, all this stuff. And yet we're being the least green possible by not recycling our food.
Yeah. Right. You know what's interesting, I realize, when it comes to hunger relief in general? The food bank model that has fed America's poor for the last 50 years, it's the same model that I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, yeah, it definitely hasn't changed. I'll correct that. We're changing. And, you know, Second Harvest Food Bank in Orange County does an amazing job.
Right.
I think up to 70% of their product is fresh. But the point is, they're not going out and buying canned foods and giving it away. They're recovering and repurposing canned processed products. So we're at Bracken's Kitchen, and what's happening in America is we're trying to do the same thing with perishable that we've been doing with processed for 100 years. I mean, when your church does a food drive for the food bank, do you go out to the grocery store and buy it? Mm-hmm. No, you go into your cabinet and you get the canned stuff that's been there for the last 6 months you haven't used, and you throw it in the bin, and that's the food drive in America.
Ironically, though, Bill, and this is really funny, I see people grabbing those paper bags and going to the grocery store and getting new product, putting it in it so that they could drop it off at the schools.
Right.
Yeah. It's actually ironic, right? Because yes, I am participating in this, but I'm not knocking it. I'm going to the grocery store to buy new product, put it in the bags for a food drive, rather than actually going into my and I don't know. It's I'm not going to give them my old stuff. I'm going to get new stuff. I don't know what it is, but yeah, the model for how we have dealt with this problem has been institutionalized, and it's never going to be not a problem. We might reduce the frequency of it. We might make a ding into it. There are going to be economic conditions that change.
Absolutely.
Certain parts of the countries are going to go through their ebbs and flows, and we're going to basically just have this sort of ongoing thing. There's always been hungry people. There's always been people that are maybe homeless temporarily or otherwise. They used to call them transitional labor, right? And the labor department, right? And they evaluated them differently. It wasn't unemployment. It wasn't transitional labor.
Yeah, but the difference I'm seeing today, and it's because of people like Bill, and I got to plug Cisco Los Angeles. The president there, Brian Allred, and the friends that I have there that I work with, they are doing a lot to ensure that a lot of organizations like Bracken's Kitchen is getting food that they can't use any longer.
Right.
So there are these big corporations that are starting to recognize and are, I mean, you mentioned Newport Meats, other Santa Monica Seafood. We've reached out to Ingardia Brothers here in Orange County on several occasions at the Art Institute where they've donated food, especially salmon. But, you know, the organizations like Cisco LA is taking an active stance and helping and ensuring that, I mean, we're talking about thousands of dollars of product that they are ensuring is going out to the food banks.
We go to Orange County Food Bank whenever we want to every week now. It's something new we started. And basically Cisco has a truck that comes out, I don't know if it's every day. I mean, again, they got produce and things that it's perfectly good, but it's no longer Gelson's shelf quality that the chefs expect.
Right.
So
it's a bruised something.
Yeah, it's cosmetically imperfect, so it ends up at Second Harvest.
Heaven forbid you should buy your groceries from in a cosmetically imperfect environment.
Well, it's funny you say that, Rod, because I spend my whole life, adult life.
That's
down.
How I bought my groceries. I remember with my mother in the food markets. I mean, it was open air.
That's
why I
picked mine in my
backyard
garden.
Remember the white label?
In fact, I'm sorry. Do you not pay more for that than call it organic? I mean, wait, the cucumber is twisted. It's not straight. Oh, that's
organic.
Let's charge it more. Because it has an organic sticker on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you're growing it in your backyard because you wanted more original, or your tomatoes to taste better. Yeah. I mean, I will double up on that, Steve. I agree, and it's, you know, I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Greer Wilder. We talked about the awesome chef down the street here, Amar Santana. You know, there, I am really encouraged, honestly, right? Because this is an overwhelming problem, and we're talking about homeless, but this goes across the board. I think there is a consciousness awakening that's happening where people are saying, no, I'm not sitting here waiting for somebody else to take care of it. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to try to do whatever I can, not to where my life is basically completely dedicated to doing nothing but this, but wherever I can actually make a difference for whatever duration time, I can make a difference to whatever organization and vehicle that maybe is like a Bracken's Kitchen or whatever, I am going to engage and participate. And because I need that aspect in my life, I need that part of my soul fed.
Absolutely.
And I agree. And I think, you know, when we started the whole Hungry Games idea, I mean, I was questioning, are we going to sell enough tickets? Are we? And then next thing we know,
that's pretty frightening.
It's exploded, you know, to being sold out. Yeah. And we're like, wow, if we had a larger place, you know.
Isn't that funny? You went from, oh, no, I don't know, are we going to be able to pull this thing up?
Right.
Oh, man, we don't have a big enough space
for
this.
But we've gotten amazing sponsorship feedback. Yeah. We've gotten amazing ticket sales. We're getting more and more people. I'm anticipating walk-ins and, you know, it's great, but
you
it's because
have security at the door,
right?
you know what? This, I mean,
I got rad.
But Rod, don't you? I know you're gonna say something, Rob.
With an alligator vest, yeah.
You know, get philosophical here. Don't you think that part of what you're talking about, this awakening, it's a reality of what this country has been through in the last couple of years?
Absolutely.
And there's so much uncertainty, and I know myself personally.
Absolutely.
When I'm facing crisis, emotional, personal crisis, what feeds my soul, what makes me feel good, is trying to do something. Even, and I say this honestly, my wife and I don't fight much at all, but if we ever have an issue, I go out and just do something for it. That's the way I, you know, serve myself personally. And I think with everything going on in America today, and, you know, the last couple of years and politics and everything, regardless of what side of the fence you're on, you know, there's so much uncertainty in America and all these things. So people want to get involved and do something. They feel like they're doing something to make the world a better place.
I will tell you, Bill, I mean, I wasn't born here. I didn't grow up here. I moved here when I was 20. Okay. And part of, call it nostalgic, maybe it was myth, it wasn't really truth, but part of the image of America, the shiny
city on the hill,
right?
Yeah.
Was that basically you stepped up and you could step up versus other places where the circles were too closed.
Yep.
Right? You could step up and you could make a difference, whatever it would be pursuit-wise. You could make that decision, you could put action towards it, and you could make a difference to where you felt like you actually left it better than you found it. Right? And I think along the way, and I'm not talking about it from a religious perspective, I think along the way, just the morality of it, that sense of being able to make a difference, not in terms of foreign intervention or stuff like that, but literally down the street, okay? We lost focus of that. And I think it is refreshing to see that we may be in a renaissance
heading in that direction.
Well, and I'm going to – let me finish. I'm going to respectfully disagree with you for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
I think at the heart of every human being is this need to feel loved and feel valuable, that their life in some way matters.
Okay.
And I don't think we've ever lost that need to feel like we need to make a difference. We've just lost how we – feel like we made a difference, you know, and our success has become in America judged on career, money, fame, all those things.
Right.
And now we're coming back to that need has always been there, the need to make a difference or feel like our life in some way mattered. But now we're realizing maybe it isn't how big.
Well, and I think Bill,
some of that is, but it's what you did to make the world a better place.
Well, right. And I think along the way, we were sort of either told or convinced that we had to kind of make a choice and only settle for one direction and then pursue those sort of trappings, right? Where in fact, there was a hunger in our soul for this other part of us that you're talking about that was not being fed. And that now we may be realizing that we can decide on our own terms how to make that mix, that sense of contentment and satisfaction for what it means for us individually.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And for us, you got to remember, it's hospitality.
Yeah.
We're in the hospitality industry.
It's in our DNA.
And hospitality is all about providing for other people.
Yeah.
And if everybody in the hospitality industry came together and did what Bill has been doing, it'd be a much smaller problem.
And again, it's not about resolving the problem,
no,
taking it off the table. It's about literally making a difference in whatever way you can, and to do it, I think, with a certain amount of humbleness and humility. I mean, this is somebody's life that you are genuinely impacting with that one warm meal, in a way that you may never experience yourself, you know. But they are.
And look at what we do in a classroom. We're teachers.
Yeah.
We're impacting and changing lives one way or another. And that is the most gratifying experience I could ever imagine.
Anybody who has never volunteered does not know what they're missing, honestly.
I'm glad you said that, and I would challenge. Sorry, I just interrupt you, Craig.
Maybe no worries.
You said on talk radio, but I often wish that we can get some of our volunteers to be spokespersons, because the lives that we've changed that we never realized by allowing people an opportunity to get involved.
Right.
I mean, I've had conversations, I've seen tears flowing down people's faces and eyes, and because we give them an opportunity that they otherwise didn't know what to do. Volunteering is such a rewarding thing.
So
for
why
people.
Don't you bring some of those in the next time you come, and bring some food with you, of course.
Absolutely. Round three, I have to bring food, I understand.
Let's take that a step farther. Well, why don't we have you guys, I mean, Collins Hotel School is part of my conference as well, so why don't we make the Art Institute part of it, bring a couple of people in, and we'll give you guys both. So, I mean, you had some time this year, but we'll
absolutely
definitely have Bracken's Kitchen back, and you can talk about, again, some of the people you've helped to have them there, and, you know, we'll – let's see. How much help are you guys getting from our local hotels?
From the local hotels, I don't know, but we're getting a lot of help.
I don't know that I could answer that. Yeah. I don't go around and look at where this person works or that person works. But certainly, we're engaging more and more companies to have, you know, this opportunities for groups to come out, not individual one-offs. Yes. But we get a lot of hospitality help for sure from the Dunkin' Donuts and the Chick-fil-A's of the world, and people that want to bring groups out. But it's kind of in their DNA. I think in the luxury hotel world, especially, or the hospitality hotel world, it's a little tougher. You're open 24/7. You know, restaurant closes its doors at a certain time every day.
So as we wrap up, how can people help you go both?
And how can they find out more about the organization and the event coming up that, sorry, but is sold out? And when's the next one, Steve?
We're looking at the fall.
Fall.
Yeah,
and it's all part of gearing up toward a bigger we'll have another event in the fall, and the winner of this one goes head-to-head with the winner of the fall event in the spring at a big event at SoCo. So it's all part of a bigger plan.
Wonderful.
But visit BracketsKitchen.com.
Let me know about sponsorship.
Bracken, spell that BrackensKitchen.
Yes, kitchen. Go ahead, spell it. You're doing good over there.
BrackensKitchen.com. And the Art Institute of California, Orange County. And then we got that name finally right here.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. And
how do they find out about you guys?
Yeah.
artinstitutes.edu/orange-county.
Art Institute, or it's Toots, plural?
Art Institutes.
Toots,
Art
plural.
Art Institute?
Just Google Steve Gostin. You'll find
it. You know what?
Orange County.
If you Google my name, you'll find IntelliServe. That's a responsible
beverage
service
training. You really don't
want to
tell them all the
training.
Things you'll find.
So how do we spell your name? How do we spell your name?
Steve Gostin, STEVEGOSTIN. com.
Almost sounds like Steve Austin, doesn't it?
It almost does.
We don't even want to talk about the jokes I heard.
growing up.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, I do want to thank today's sponsors, both Radgantos and Associates and Park West General Contractors. This show wouldn't be possible without both those firms helping us out. So thank you, Rad, and thank you, Chris and Ed, over at Park West. I appreciate it. And remember, call these guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Help gentlemen. Help out our communities,
gentlemen,
please.
Steve and Bill, thanks for being here. Thank you very much. Yeah, you've given us a lot to chew on.
Thank you. Is that candy bar gone, by the way?
Thank you for being our guest today on Check Out California. We look forward to having you as a guest with us again in 2 weeks. Until then, you can always reach us through our Check Out California Facebook page or by emailing us at checkoutcalifornia@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, so do let us know what you think of the show and what areas of interest you'd like to see us cover in the future. Your feedback is very important to us as we continue to bring you the best hospitality our Golden State has to offer. Until next time, may all your days be filled with sunsets and palm trees. Now, go experience and check out California.